Although Timmy has been expanding his vocabulary, and at the doctor, he had to, like, look in his ears to see if he had ear infections, and Timmy hates that part. Mm-hmm. And so, like, while that was happening, he just started screaming, bye, 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 bye.
That's so sad, but also so adorable.
It really was. Well, welcome back to Beyond Sunday Podcast. We're exploring our faith, take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Dazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Dazer.
How are we doing, Patrick?
Yes, and no Elise McCarter again.
Oh no, 2 weeks in a row.
I know. Unsupervised, left to her own devices. She wanted to be here.
She's also unsupervised, so yes. Who knows what kind of trouble she's going to do.
Yeah, yes. But she is sick and was not able to join us for recording. She misses it, though. Yeah.
Well, we assume. I don't know.
Yeah, I assume she does.
Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she's like, I just really need a break.
Yes.
I'm just gonna be sick. They won't know the difference, right?
Yeah, she said she lost her voice. We'll see, you know.
She probably lost her voice from screaming all of her opinions at last week's episode.
Maybe.
She couldn't be here.
Maybe.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe a vicious cycle.
Another lost voice at the doctor, Timmy, when the doctor came in, was like speaking like, you know, or, you know, he doesn't really speak, you know, does his like mumbling. He was like, hey, yeah. And the doctor's like, did he lose his voice? And I'd be like, nope. This is just what he's doing right now.
Like, par for the course.
He's like, are you sure? Like, yep. This is just kind of, he's just making a silly noise.
Unless he has lost his voice for the last 20 months of his life. No, this is just it.
Yeah, this is just a voice that he likes to do. He likes to put on. All right, well, I've got...
Who doesn't like a silly voice?
A story for us.
Okay. What's our topic for the day?
Oh, our topic for the day, we're back in the Bible. So we're continuing...
Must be a new month.
Yes, it's a new month. We're in May already. So
the time
first,
keeps ticking on.
We did 1st and 2nd Samuel, and those are going to lead right into 1st and 2nd Kings. So we're going to do 1st and 2nd Kings all together.
Continuing the chronology.
And then just a little glimpse into Chronicles.
Just a peek.
Yeah. You'll get it. All right. This is one of my favorite news stories we've had in quite some time.
Wow. All right. We've had some good ones lately.
Yeah. This one makes me laugh just from the headline.
Okay.
Or it makes me, like, intrigued, that's for sure.
Okay.
All right. Here you go. Russian man trapped on Chinese reality TV show finally voted out after 3 months.
Wow. Okay.
So.
What is going on in Chinese reality TV? That's what I want to know.
Have you ever watched American Idol?
Yes.
Me too. Long time ago.
Begrudgingly, yeah.
I watched early. You know, Kelly Clarkson. Yeah,
sure.
You know, Carrie Underwood. Those are really the only idols American Idol has produced. So,
yeah,
close enough. But I guess this is a Chinese TV show that's like that, where they're forming an 11-person boy band.
It's a big boy band.
That is a big boy band. Yes, and Vladislav Ivanov was kind of a. He was a translator for the show, and a producer said, like, hey, he looks like he could be in a boy band, and got him to sign up as a contestant.
Nice.
He quickly regretted that decision, but was unable to walk away because then he would be in breach of contract.
Oh, no. Okay.
So every week on this Chinese reality show, he would go on there and say, please vote me off. I don't want to be here.
Wow, okay.
And
then people refused.
And they voted for him. Like, they voted for him to stay. He made it 3 months in the show. He made it to the finale. Yes. But it was finally...
So he lost in the finale.
He lost in the finale. Yes, he said, I hope the judges won't support me. While the others want to get an A, I want to get an F, as it stands for freedom.
That's not what F stands for, but okay, good work.
Yes. So they voted for him time and time again. As he went up there and not really sing and not really dance and begged to be voted off.
So if you were watching a reality show here in the United States and someone week after week came on like begging to be let off, wouldn't you just kind of assume that they were being put up to it by the producers?
Yeah, or maybe like this is like, hey, this is how I stand out, right? Like,
yeah. Like, my reverse psychology. No, vote me off. I don't really want to be here.
Sure, yeah. Like, you'd be like, I'm the only one saying this. And so that would get a few
I'm
people.
I'm not crazy. They're crazy.
Yeah, to look
I'm
at this
crazy.
And be like, oh, this is interesting. I'm intrigued by this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would probably accidentally vote for that person to stay for a long time, too.
Yes.
If I voted in that sort of thing, which I don't. I vote in real elections, not in, you know, yeah. reality TV.
I did elections. Again. I did watch like a season or two of American Idol. I never once voted for it.
Yeah. I cannot say I watched a season or two. I watched an episode or two, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was in college. I was probably in the room when it was on, but I was not into it. That was not my thing. Plus, 11 people is just way too many people to have in a boy band.
I know.
Can't keep track of that.
11. That's a huge. Is this like a big band? Like, are they play? Yeah. You know, that's too many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if one of them doesn't want to be there. So.
How would you like to be like the 13th person who got voted off before the person who didn't even want
and you're
to
like
be there.
He's trying his hardest,
come on,
doing his songs and dance, and then this one guy goes out there and says like one of his things, he just ate a lemon on stage. and they're like, yeah, give me more of that.
I want more of that lemon.
All right, let's get into First and Second Kings.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we like Samuel, Kings is not two books, it's actually one book with two scrolls. And so now we did two books. And the First and Second Kings will pick up right where Samuel ends.
Mm-hmm.
So we're picking up, David is at the end of his life. We have not died just yet. He's kind of at the end.
Yeah,
he's right there. Yes. Well, we get a little bit of David at the beginning of First Kings. So, and kind of the theme of this book is right in you know, First and Second Samuel, one of the big themes was like this idea of like there's just going to be this messianic king, you know, it's going to be from the line of David, and it's going to bring kind of like Israel and the world into like a new relationship with God. And Kings is basically like, all these kings are not it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they,
every single one is going to blow it.
And not only are they not it, they're so bad that Israel's like ran into the ground. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, really demolishes kind of Israel in its entirety. And in fact, we'll end Kings with no more Israel. So,
bye bye. Hello, exile.
Yes. So that's a pretty powerful failure over these First and Second Kings two books. So it will be a little different because First and Second Samuel, really, you know, Saul and David are kind of your two main characters. And here we're going to spend a lot of time with a lot of kings, or a little bit of time with a lot of kings.
Mm-hmm.
And you would probably say, like, who are the main characters? And that's probably going to be Elijah and Elisha, who aren't kings. So,
right.
Yeah.
Solomon gets a pretty good role at the beginning.
Solomon does, yeah.
But then it's, you know, slim pickings. Kings get like a couple sentences. They're like, oh, this guy, he was pretty terrible, and everything he did is written in some other book that we don't have anymore. And this guy, he was pretty terrible, and everything he did, yeah, it's written in that same other book that we don't have anymore.
Yes. So let's start at the beginning here. So
Okay. Start
with David. He's got some last words to Solomon, his son.
Let me tell you what I really think about you people.
A little bit. But first,
this too is a theme.
First,
the great leader on his last breath. Yeah. Let me tell you what I really think.
It starts off strong. He's going to be like, hey, remain faithful to the covenant of God, and God will remain faithful to you. And you're like, okay, passing on the wisdom he learned.
Yes.
And then he's like, but we got to assassinate some people.
That's right. But first, let's kill some people. Let's make sure we're all clear.
We gotta assassinate some other, you know, pretenders to the throne. We gotta clear the way for you, Solomon.
Right, because we can't trust God to do that. So
yes,
let's take this into our own hands. That's the subtext. That's not written in there. That's
it is. And then so we get a bright spot here. Solomon, God asks Solomon, hey, I will give you whatever you ask for. And Solomon asks for wisdom.
And this seems like a good thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty good ask. It's kind of like asking for 1,000 wishes. I mean, like, it's
that would be the wise choice.
It's a pretty good one to ask for. And then he builds the temple that David was planning and wanting to build. Mm-hmm. Solomon completes it for him. So Solomon's reign starts off strong.
Yeah.
And does not end that way.
Doesn't stay there.
Yeah, and this is kind of about as bright as a bright spot as we're going to get in Kings. Then he decides he wants to marry all the women. And when I say all the women, I mean all the women.
All the women. Yeah. We are not using hyperbole.
Mostly to form political alliances with the surrounding kingdoms. Like, he's like, hey, that tribe has got like 12 people in it. They got a daughter. Send her on over. I mean, like, it really is like
And now you're loyal to me. It's great.
Every possible marriage he can make, he does.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to get into the numbers of like 300 brides, 700 mm-hmm. concubines. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot.
That's too many.
Yeah, way too many.
like enough that like there's no way you even know all of their names. There's no way.
No. You know? Yeah. He's like, wait, are you my wife?
Right.
And he starts to worship their gods.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And starts to institute slave labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of get this in this kind of subtext. So like by the end of his life, he's no longer really a king of Israel. He's more like Pharaoh, you know, who reigned over the Israelites.
Right. Which call back to our Exodus episode, Pharaoh, not who we want to be like in the as far as
yeah.
biblical ideal characters. Pharaoh is not it. So.
Yeah. So he asks for the wisdom, does not act on it. Any other thoughts here on Solomon as we've kind of reached the end of him?
No, I like Solomon's arc a lot. I think it's one that we typically overlook because, you know, as a kid, you maybe hear the story of, oh, Solomon was so wise and mm-hmm. he asked for that wisdom. And then, you know, there's the story of the two women who are fighting over the baby and he makes this incredible wise choice. And
yeah.
you hear, oh, people came from all over the world to glean his wisdom because it was so, and Israel, this was like Israel's glory is that he had all this wisdom. But we really, in those stories, we really overlook this much more shadowy side of mm-hmm. Solomon, particularly like he enslaved not just others, but like he enslaved the Israelite people, his own people that he was supposed to be ruling over. He turns into slaves to build these massive building projects.
Yeah.
And basically everything that Samuel had predicted was going to happen if they had a king, right? If we remember back when Israel first asked for a king, Samuel says, well, he's going to make you slaves. He's going to, you know, mm-hmm. bring your women into his court and all this stuff. All that stuff starts to happen under Solomon. And so I think it's a really important arc that yeah. we miss out on just in our typical narrative of how Solomon plays.
Yeah, and I think too, like, we have to remember, you know, Solomon and David not only live as kings, they do provide not only their life story, but their works in the Bible, or at least mm-hmm. some version of their works. You know, David mm-hmm. is more the poet, and so we get mm-hmm. a lot of his psalms and songs.
Yeah.
And kind of like, I'd say maybe his work is a lot of inspiration for why we have this book in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Solomon is more of maybe the philosopher. And
sure.
so Proverbs and potentially Ecclesiastes, either written by him or somebody kind of like writing as him,
yeah.
you know, yep. it's kind of the idea of where we get those things. So he's more of kind of, I'd say philosopher may be a good term to kind of put on him. So David the poet, yep. Solomon the philosopher, how they kind of see faith.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, read Proverbs sometimes, and it's all, I mean, just these little kind of aphorisms, these little sayings of like, well, it's kind of like this, or it's like this, or isn't this true, and isn't that, it's the kind of thing that made you want to walk away from that freshman philosophy major when you were in college and be like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. It's that, and I mean, that's kind of what's in Proverbs.
Yes. So Solomon has a son, Rehoboam,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like Solomon, only minus the good parts.
He did not go in the right direction.
Yeah, so there's not even like the shining moments of wisdom or building the temple. It's all bad. And so Jeroboam, guy from
this I'm just gonna say the names of the kings is probably one of my favorite parts about First and Second Kings.
Yeah.
Like just reading through them, like Rehoboam and then Jeroboam and then this Aboam and then that Aboam.
Yes.
it's lots of fun.
So he is from the northern part of Israel, and he's gonna rebel and lead a revolt, and now we have two kingdoms.
That's not good.
Yes, so Judah, the southern part, this would follow David's line, and this one has Jerusalem, the holy city,
mm-hmm.
And then Israel, the northern kingdom. And this won't really follow Jeroboam's line, even though he's kind of their first king, because there's going to be a lot of civil war going on in the northern kingdom.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, the southern kingdom has a temple. We're going to have two temples.
Nailed it.
Because
yeah. if one is good, then two must be better, right?
And they're like, okay, and you know what? You know what was a huge hit in Exodus? That golden calf. And they had one.
Yeah.
I know the problem. We got two.
Bring back that golden calf jam. I love it.
Yeah.
Kicking it old school. Yeah.
And they're like, hey, that didn't work. But maybe two will work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on, guys. Like, how are we doing this? Yeah.
It was, yeah. this was always a point that confused me as a kid, because we would read stories about Israel, and then I would be like, oh, wait, but not the Jerusalem part? Because I just always assumed that Jerusalem was in Israel. So I always had a hard time keeping straight of, like, where we were in the actual context of Israel. But yeah, Northern Kingdom, Israel, Southern Kingdom, Judah, Jerusalem, David, etc.
Yes.
Judah, Jerusalem, David is really what we're going to follow to become the nation of Israel when we return from exile.
Correct.
That's really what we think of as Israel. The Northern Kingdom as Israel kind of just disappears.
Yes. Yeah, they will have a moment here in 1st and 2nd Kings, and then that moment will just be gone, and then that's it.
Yep.
So, yeah. Because when we, kind of spoiler, when we get past this narrative part of the Bible, and then we're going to get into kind of the Psalms and the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and the end is kind of like a long list of prophets. And all those prophets are really working in the Southern Kingdom at this time. So we're kind of like going to go backwards a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the two main characters, Elijah and Elisha, are really working in Israel, the Northern Kingdom. So they do have kind of, God has not abandoned them immediately, but eventually this part was just going to be like, it's over, and it's not coming back.
Yep.
So that's kind of our first two big parts, Solomon and then the Civil War and the split. And then part three is the largest part of Kings. We're really going to look at all these kings, and we're going to kind of ping pong back and forth between the Northern and Southern Kingdom, and they're each going to give us about 20 kings of each. So we're going to follow this both these kingdoms for a while, and the author of 1st and 2nd Kings is going to kind of have this question. Every king is kind of get a little checklist here.
All right.
Do they worship Yahweh, the God of Israel? We're saying Israel, the Israelites alone, not just Northern Kingdom.
Yeah. God of Abraham, if we want to,
yes. Check mark number one. Number two, did they get rid of idolatry in the kingdom?
Okay.
Check mark number two.
So that's our checklist?
And number three, wait, one more, number three.
Oh, number three, okay.
And are they faithful to the covenant of David?
Okay. So do they worship Yahweh?
Yes.
Did they get rid of idolatry? Are they faithful to the covenant?
Yes.
Okay. And then, so that's what we're judging them all by.
Yes. And so in the Northern Kingdom, of those 20 kings, zero make the checklist.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, so they've already all, you know, failed the third one for sure, because none of them are remaining faithful to the covenant. So they're already on, that's minus one.
Correct.
In a three-part checklist, it's hard to start with one check already as an X.
Southern Kingdom is a little better. 8 out of 20, you know.
Okay.
The author would say, like,
some highlights.
They're doing this, so not quite half, but you know, almost there. We're almost okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there are some really cool stories about some of those 8. Some of those reforms that happened under the good kings, if we want to call them good kings, because they were still all falling short, right? None of them were the Messiah figure that we're waiting for. But there are some like moments where you're like, maybe?
Yeah.
And then, nope, again.
Yeah.
At one point, like a king goes into the temple and finds like the lost scroll of the Torah, and like everything had been so dismantled and so fallen apart that like no one even knew what was in this. And so the king reads it and is like moved to tears by the Torah, and then, brings everybody up in Israel, brings everybody in Judah to reform back to following Yahweh's practices, which lasts until that king dies. And then we go on. So,
that's kind of how it goes. All right, so since the kings really are not the main characters of Kings,
right.
It really, again, once...
Ironically.
Yeah, after you pass Solomon, we really are just kind of like touching down into moments and not really spending lifetimes with these people, except for, you know, we get to Elijah. And Elijah is our first real main character of the Book of Kings, after Solomon. We want to not discount his contribution here.
And he can be discounted. It's okay.
Yes. So Elijah is a prophet of God to the Northern Kingdom. We're going to go through 7 big miracles of Elijah. And his main adversary is King Ahab. And King Ahab is kind of like lifted up as kind of like the real bad king of Israel. And his wife, Jezebel. Yes.
Is it? Sorry. I'm now blanking on this. And maybe this is just completely off topic. Ahab, isn't that a character in Moby Dick?
Yes. That is the main character of Moby Dick.
Okay.
Yes. Except for the whale, I guess. He's the king.
But is the whale even real? I don't know.
I don't know. I've never watched it. I never read it, actually.
You never watched it? Is there a Moby Dick movie?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's several.
That'd be a terrible movie. That'd be... Anyway, okay. Ahab.
Yes.
I just wonder if that Ahab is named for this Ahab. It doesn't matter.
I bet
Ahab
it is.
Is the king.
I bet it is. Yes. Yeah. Ahab and Jezebel, they're kind of like... out of all the bad kings, this is probably the one we really spend the most time with. We really get we get to live in Ahab's world a little bit. And Elijah is kind of the adversary.
Well, and you know Jezebel's bad because her name has like lived on to become an insult for people.
That's
so
true.
If your name lives on as an insult for, you know, 5,000 years or 3,000, probably 3,000 years at this point, that's something. You got something to hold on to.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of this is we have this contest between Elijah and then like the prophets who work for Ahab and Jezebel, mm-hmm. who serve the god Baal. Mm-hmm. And Elijah challenges them to like, who's the real god of Israel kind of a thing. Is it Baal?
It's like the original reality TV show.
Yes.
Is it, maybe they were all trying to get voted off too.
Maybe. Yeah. Is it Baal or is it Yahweh? And so they have this like, we're going to make these sacrifices, and whichever god produces fire, that's the real god. And
I like it.
Baal cannot, and Elijah's pretty funny. He's like, hey, maybe Baal's sleeping. You got to wake that dude up. Like, and Elijah douses his sacrifice with water, and then the fire of the Lord comes and consumes it all. And then Elijah goes and like slaughters all those prophets of Baal.
Kill them all. Yeah. Yep. Kill them all. Not Elijah's bright spot in the story, but the prophet or the prophecy and bringing down the fire, that part's pretty cool.
It's pretty fun, yeah. And then Elijah also has kind of a protege, the guy who's going to take over Elisha.
Mm-hmm. And which is super helpful that their names sound almost identical.
It really is. And
like, couldn't one of you have been like Greg? Come on.
I know, it's really
would have been too much to ask.
After Elijah is taken to heaven, he does not die, he gets taken to heaven, Elisha asks God for 2 times the authority of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And something I think is kind of interesting, we get 7 miracles of Elijah and 14 miracles of Elisha. So
that's like twice as many.
So the author kind of like, okay, let's explore this, and we get, you know, doubles it up.
Yeah. Now,
but when it comes to kind of Israel's connection to these two, Elijah is kind of the main character, right? Like,
yes.
Israel loves Elijah, and Elisha fades a little bit from their collective love. And not to say they don't like Elijah, but Elijah will come back later when we kind of get into, like, John the Baptist. They're like, this dude is Elijah. He's come back.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And Elijah is with Jesus on the mount during the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah and Jesus are there. That's who the disciples see.
Yes.
And it's Elijah, not Elisha.
Yes.
Elisha. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking kind of about the Mount Rushmore of characters in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And the fourth character is a little hard to pin down. Moses, Abraham, and David are like shoo-ins. Elijah is probably the fourth one, even though we spend the least amount of time with him out of the other four.
Yeah, but I think that's true of the real Mount Rushmore, too, because like you've got Abraham Lincoln, George Washington.
Thomas Jefferson.
And then
Elijah's the Teddy Roosevelt.
Or Teddy Roosevelt? Is it Teddy? Yeah, it's Teddy
and
Roosevelt.
And I think that tracks, you know, like...
Yeah.
Because Teddy Roosevelt was, like, shot in his speech, and he's like, forget this, I'm going to keep going. And that seems like Elijah to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Rough Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of... any other thoughts on these two guys?
I love the stories that we get from Elijah and Elisha.
Yeah.
There are some fantastic stories. Some of them you've probably heard. You know, we've mentioned the contest with the prophets. You know, there's a great story about Elijah going up on the mountain to meet with God and God appearing in the silence rather than in all the other noise and stuff that's happening around them. Elisha has this great story of a foreign leader coming to him and looking for help to be healed and sends him to wash in the river, and there's this whole argument about the leader wanting it to be more complicated. There are just some really great stories that happen there that I think are really powerful for us to dive into. I also find it fascinating, you know, as we're thinking about this, you know, as we said earlier on, right, the nation that we know of as Israel is really the southern kingdom of Judah. But this prophet of the northern kingdom, Elijah, is the one who lives on even in the zeitgeist of the southern kingdom to say, no, this is the one we're waiting for them to come back. We all know Elijah has to return before the Messiah can come, is kind of what we hear around Jesus' time. So it's interesting that he had a large enough persona that even though his work was in the Northern Kingdom, he was definitely known, and that tradition was carried through even in the Southern Kingdom as well.
Yes. Plus, one of the things that we also know about Elisha is, for those of us with thinning hair, he's bald.
Yes. Because like you do, when a bunch of kids make fun of you for being bald, you order a she-bear to destroy them.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. Unclear as to its significance.
The theological implications, I don't know. It's an interesting story. Yep.
It is an interesting
story.
Some
kids make fun of him, and he calls them some bears, and they attack them. Yep.
Sure.
All right, so then we're going to wrap up, towards the end of 2 Kings, we're going to wrap up the Northern Kingdom of Israel. Mm-hmm. We have this guy, Jehu, who leads a bloody revolution in the north and takes over as king. And that just leads to coup after coup after coup. It's kind of like the beginning of the end. It's like every king is killing the king before them. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Assyria comes and wipes out the Northern Kingdom.
Done. Yep. Gone.
Yep, and then that's it. And we will have time with exiled Israelites in the Bible, but not the Northern Kingdom Israelites.
Yeah, this is pretty much the end of the Northern Kingdom's story. They get exiled, and we don't really hear a lot from them ever again. Except they kind of reappear as what we then call Samaritans.
Yes.
So it's this remnant of the exiles who stay in the Northern Kingdom after the exile has taken place. They stay and they live there, and they marry with other cultures who come in and things like that, and they become what we know as the Samaritans in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's all. So I think this is definitely kind of interesting. But again, we're kind of done with this group.
Yeah.
And then the Kings ends with kind of like these last few stories of Judah, mm-hmm. and we got some good kings in here. We got Hezekiah. He's a good king.
Yeah.
The Assyrians aren't done after the Northern Kingdom. They come after Jerusalem, and Hezekiah trusts God, and Assyrians are defeated and go back. And so he saves the kingdom of Judah. Then we have...
Hezekiah is also my favorite go-to pretend Bible book, or book of the Bible. So like if you want to like tell somebody to look something up in the Bible that doesn't actually exist, you tell them to look in the book of Hezekiah, because it sounds like it should really be a book.
It really does. And then we have the next king, Manasseh, and not good.
Great.
This one is probably maybe in the Southern Kingdom, maybe the worst of the worst. This guy introduces child sacrifice.
Not good.
Yeah, really terrible.
That's pretty much been bad since Abraham. Like, God stopped Abraham from doing this.
Yeah.
This has been a while. This is not news.
Since the beginning of children. Yeah, like, I think we're all on board. This is not a good thing. Yeah, and then finally we have Josiah, and I think that's the one who finds the piece of the
I believe you're right, yeah.
And that's kind of the end, because then instead of the Assyrians, now the Babylons come, and they conquer Judah.
All right, because Babylon has conquered the Assyrian Empire, so the Assyrian Empire has fallen to Babylon, and so now Babylon comes in and is like, oh yeah, well now we're in charge, and we're going to not just exile you, but we are going to destroy the temple.
Yes.
Just crush it. And it's going to be gone.
And yeah, they're not going to occupy Judah. They're going to take all the Israelites back to Babylon.
Yep.
And so that's kind of how 2 Kings end, with this, like, both kingdoms destroyed, one disappears forever, the other one is captured, taken to Babylon. And we do get a little bit of a postscript of we get Jehoiakim, who would have been the next king. We get this one small scene of him dining with the Babylonian king. So we get this one small reminder that, like, the Israelites are down, but they're not quite out just yet. Yes. They are still alive in Babylon.
They're going to get up off the mat.
Yes. All right, and that's 1 and 2 Kings.
There you go.
Yeah. Do we want to do a rating, or do any other thoughts on 1 and 2 Kings?
Oh, we didn't do any castings.
We did not. Okay, let's go back. Let's talk about Elijah. I think really Solomon, Elijah, and Elisha are the only three that need casting.
Yeah, those are the three. Yeah. We can't get into all the kings. That'd be nuts.
Yeah.
All right, so Solomon, who's like a wise... probably attractive, but just not like a warrior, just a wise figure. Who's somebody who could play something like that?
Yeah, I'm thinking here, who's good? We've already used Anthony Hopkins.
It needs to be, I think it needs to be younger.
A little bit younger, I agree.
Yeah.
Ooh,
what about, the young Gene Hackman?
Okay, I love a Gene Hackman. I think he's great, so.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that. Or maybe you know, the guy who plays Loki, because I think he could do that wisdom, but also a little more sinister to him.
I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That could be fun.
And you know, he's definitely an attractive guy. You could see that.
Yeah. Okay. And he is like a god from another realm. So sure, why not?
Yes. Okay. Elijah.
Elijah, have we actually casted Woody Harrelson yet? Because I know that, like, in Elise's honor, I feel like we should throw him in as some kind of crazy prophet outlander guy.
This would be a good part for him.
If we haven't already cast him, I think Woody Harrelson fits this very, very well.
Yeah, I think so too. Just this guy, he's in the desert, he's screaming a lot, he seems a little grumpy, but also pretty powerful. I think this would be a good place for a Woody Harrelson character. I'm on board.
Yeah. Which makes Elisha then one of those kids from Zombieland, right?
Okay. I mean, Jesse Eisenberg.
Sure, why not?
He's not bald, but I'll allow it.
He can shave his head. Right?
That's true. He shaved his head to play Lex Luthor. It was not a good look.
Yeah. Well, maybe it wasn't a good look for Elisha either. Who knows?
I can see it. I like, actually, I think Jesse, if you ever seen the movie The Social Network, I think he's awesome in that. That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's fun casting. Okay, so let's do a rating for First and Second Kings, and then we'll get into Chronicles, or kind of let's put our button in this one.
Okay.
All right.
So rating for First and Second Kings?
Yeah. We'll rate them as a pair. We'll do that.
Yeah. I gotcha. Okay. That's what we did with First and Second Samuel, too, isn't it?
No, because we did them separate, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Ready?
Yeah. Are we doing like a count, or are we just putting it up?
I just did it. So okay. I'm giving one thumb.
I do a solid 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, okay, I'll explain my one thumb. I think Elijah and Elisha are awesome. I think those are really cool. Other than that, it's not a lot. There's not a lot of meat on the bone when you're not with those two guys. But those are the bright spot of kind of like, again, as a narrative book, when you're with those two dudes, it's really fun and interesting. It's
good stuff.
Then it's not that interesting when you're not. It's just kind of like, ugh. So, okay.
I don't disagree with you. It was, I just think that their fun and their meaning is enough to bump it up to 1.5. Okay. But I don't disagree with your assessment. Yeah.
I would say if you're like, I want to read a little bit just to get like a feel. If you're like flipping through and you're kind of looking at the little headlines that we've added into the Bible, and you see Elijah or Elisha's name, read that section. And you'll be like, okay, this is interesting. Yeah. And then you could, you know, read a couple of them and you'll be like, oh, I think I got it. You should definitely read it. Yeah. But if you're like, I only got 20 minutes, I want to get a sense of it, I think that would be.
Start at like, what is it, like 1 Kings 17 or 18 is where the contest between Elijah and the other prophets start. Start there, read through the end of 19. That's good stuff.
That's fun. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Chronicles.
Let's do it.
Chronicles is a weird book.
Part 2, kind of.
parallel to the Book of Kings. So I did some research on this one to kind of get a sense of it. And so what I learned is that in the original Jewish text, Chronicles is supposed to come at the very end of all the narrative books. So we don't have that many narrative books left. We would have, if we're looking at like what comes after Kings, we kind of have Daniel, we would have Esther, which we've covered, and we would have Ezra and Nehemiah. That's kind of it when it comes to narrative stuff.
That's left, yeah.
Yeah, and then Chronicles is supposed to, in that version, come at the very end of all that. Okay. We, in our Bible, put it right behind Kings. It's kind of like back to back. And this would say, I think the idea is like, you've read everything and you've come to this realization, this promised figure did not ever appear. And even though there were a few hopeful, you know, contenders, it never ever happened. And so Chronicles is a little bit like, so it's like if you're watching Game of Thrones, and you're watching the last season, it's going into the last episode, and you're like, all right, and then before it'll be like previously on Game of Thrones, and kind of catches you up with kind of some of the highlights, so that you're like, okay, these are the beats that we're going to get resolved in the next chapter.
Right.
I'd say Chronicles is kind of a little bit designed to be like previously in the Bible.
Okay.
Here we have to set up whatever comes next. In the Jewish scripture, nothing comes next.
Right.
So, you know, we would say this maybe is setting up Jesus, and that's supposed to come next. Because right. It starts off with like a lot of genealogies.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off with Adam. And we don't spend any time with like Adam and Abraham and Moses, any of these people, except for their names.
Yep.
A genealogy of like, here's Adam to David, boom. And then we're going to say, and we also going to trace the priesthood genealogy. Aaron mm-hmm. to whomever is the last priest. I can't remember. Boom.
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah. And then we're going to get into a lot of stories that you saw in 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd King. We're going to spend a lot of time with David, but it's like only the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
None of the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really like, here's what the king should have been. I think the author of Chronicles knows that you've read 1st and 2nd Samuel, so it's not trying to like gloss over it. I think it's kind of a reminder of like, this is what the king should have been, and it wasn't. And then we follow David's line solely through the kings. We ignore mm-hmm. Elijah, we ignore Elisha, we ignore all the northern kingdoms, and we just get that line in there. So if you're like, I've seen all these stories, you're like, yeah, you kind of have.
Yep.
Not to say there's not some new stuff, but it's a lot of repeat.
Yeah. It is a lot of repeat, but it has its purpose and it has its place, and it does offer a different perspective on all those stories as well.
Yeah. And then I think
if you read only 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you'll have a very different picture of who David is and who the Davidic line is than if you read 1st and 2nd Kings.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you skipped over that and just jumped right into this, it would be very different. And I think this is maybe the most interesting. It's kind of how it ends. I'm going to read this. This is the very end of 2 Chronicles. So it says, "Thus says King Cyrus of Persia." We end not with one of the Israelites, but with the king of Persia, Cyrus.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. And he's going to say, "The Lord, the God of heavens, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea." Sounds positive so far. "Whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him." Sounds great so far.
Sounds good, yeah.
It ends with this one phrase. He just says, "Let him go up." That's the end. Like, it feels like it ends like halfway through a sentence.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. Like, let him go up where? And what happens when he goes up? What's the end? And I think this is really setting up. Whoever wrote 2 Chronicles is really saying like, there's a chapter coming, but I'm not quite sure what that chapter is.
Sure.
So we're just going to end it on this dangling ... and whomever comes next will fill in the gap.
Right, which in this case, I mean, it does make a lot of sense from the Protestant Bible's perspective to end there and then go right into Ezra and Nehemiah, right? So if you're looking in your Bibles, if you have a standard Protestant Bible at home, you're going to go 1st and 2nd Chronicles and right into Ezra. And Ezra is going to start under Cyrus of Persia and kind of pick up where this declaration leaves off, saying, oh, well, this is how Judah is going to come back from exile and rebuild the temple. That's where that story is going to pick up. So chronologically, the Protestant Bible does make sense there. But I really like this notion, because I did not know this, but I really like this notion of what you're bringing, that in the Jewish Bible, this is the final say.
Yeah.
This is where the story ends. That brings a new context and a new value to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, do we want to rank Chronicles?
Solid one thumb. Maybe even a half thumb.
I'm going to say half.
Half to a one.
I think if you want to know about David, 1st and Samuel is more interesting. And if you want to know about Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings is more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I think I understand its narrative purpose, but it's just not as interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens. Well, yeah. I mean, book 5 of Harry Potter, like, it has a narrative purpose, but it's just not as good. Like, it's fine,
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, 1st and 2nd Chronicles is really, like, somebody read Harry Potter and is now telling you what happened.
Wait, 1st and 2nd Chronicles is based on Harry Potter?
Well, it's like
this just got way more
interesting.
Like,
somebody read 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, yeah, 2nd King, and now it's like, oh, okay, then this happens, and then this happens. And they forget a little bit of the details, yeah.
I just like imagining someone having read Harry Potter and then creating 1st and 2nd Chronicles out of it.
Yeah. So, we've been tracing the kind of narrative stories here in the Old Testament. So, next up for us, I guess it's going to be Daniel, because we left off with...
Did we do Ezra and Nehemiah yet?
Well...
Oh, we want to stay in exile for a little while.
I think we want to stay in kind of the timeline, and it's not just the thing. So we did Esther, which we did out of order.
We did.
Which also happens in Babylon, or Persia,
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit of the same.
Some foreign conquering land.
Yeah. So I think next we'll go into Daniel. So
okay.
That'll happen at the beginning of June.
Daniel. We'll get some famous stories out of that one. There'll be some lions. There'll be...
Daniel's a great book.
Three guys with funny names. There'll be a giant chocolate bunny. Wait, no, that's the VeggieTales version. That probably won't happen in our story, but...
I'm going to say there are definitely stories, if you're like a Sunday school kid, that you'll be like, oh, yeah, I definitely know the stories of Daniels. But if you only learned about Daniel from like Sunday school, there's a whole lot that you're like, that you're going to be like, wait.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, we've also covered the Daniel diet on the podcast before. We did an episode on that.
We have covered the Daniel diet,
That was before we started doing a book a month for Books of the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. So, I've got no other thoughts.
Okay, well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode or any of our episodes of Beyond Sunday, we hope that you'll take the time to share this out, even if you feel like we're just the chronicler who's just retelling you a story in a less fun way. That's fine. Share it out anyway. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com or find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.